Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
There's something a little bit more timely, and that is a story about this school shooting, which I only seen the headlines about. I mean, there's just, it's tiresome, honestly.
But yeah, it is. They continue to pop up.
As I understand it, there are 10 people dead, 10 injured, and the shooter had intended to kill himself, but didn't do it.
That's my understanding.
He didn't have the guts or whatever to do it.
Right.
So he can take other people's lives, just not his own. And so he is now in custody.
The other headline out of that was he did not shoot people that he liked. So intentionally avoided shooting some people because he wanted to make sure that a positive story came out about him.
Wow.
Yeah. So along with the shooting, the other headline, and I think this started with the Washington Post, which is basically 2018 is deadlier for school children than service members.
Hmm.
So the folks over at Reason decided to delve into that headline. Crunch some numbers and see what they came up with.
Reason's pretty good about checking the media.
They are.
Claims.
So again, from Reason.com. Today's tragic mass, and this would have been from yesterday, today's tragic mass killing at Santa Fe High School, which left at least 10 dead.
Apparently it's in Texas.
Correct.
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
The argument of is, you know, well, you can just send your kids to a private school. You can just homeschool. The reality is, for most families, with the levels of taxation that we have across the country, that to, again, you know, suck out $7,000 to $10,000 or $20,000 out of what little they have left after taxation, it becomes impossibility. So, you know, it was much more realistic 30, 40 years ago when we still were able to have one parent staying home and one parent at work.
So wait a minute, what changed, right, between 40, 50 years ago and now? Why do both parents have to be at work?
I think the Federal Reserve has a lot to do with that. I mean, when you inflate your currency to such a point that... And remember, you weren't really around. Right. I don't know what year you were born, but I know what year I was born.
After you.
Yes. But we suffered tremendous inflation during the 70s after Nixon took the United States off of the gold standard. And, you know, before that, we were still sort of pegged to gold, and what you bought didn't really change that much. Prices didn't dramatically change. But when you saw... You know, things like gasoline and anything that was transported, which meant pretty much everything, food, groceries, throughout the 70s, starting with Nixon, to the point where he implemented price controls and all these Keynesian ideas.
I'm really interested in your conversation here. And,
sure.
And you kind of touched a little bit on how the value of the currency was devalued.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're overlooking one serious thing as far as, in particular, wages go. Back about that time also, there was something else that caused a real supply and demand issue with workforce, which I think drove wages down, and that was women entering the workforce.
It's a good point. It's a
and
really good
the,
point.
I think the women's movement really pushed it and propelled it, and if you have an excess demand or excess supply of workers and the ratio to demand for workforce, then wages are going to go down for everybody. And it wound up making it where people needed, it wound up at first women went to work because they could. And after a period of time with the devalued workforce, it wound up being women had to go to work because they had to, which is a different pair of shoes to put on in the morning.
Meaning,
I think it was a lot.
Meaning the devalued currency. I can say in my mother's case, and this is the only example I really have to go by, but she did want to work because she was kind of a, you know, liberal woman. She wanted to help out in our family business.
Right.
But and as that, the 70s fine. Went down, it was clear that they couldn't afford no longer for her not to work.
You know what got the war coming out of the war? We rebuilt Europe and Japan. That's why we had a booming economy. But you talk about what happened 50 years ago. What happened 50 years ago?
It helped some companies. Some companies were very involved in that rebuilding.
That sounds like the broken window fallacy to me.
It does.
No, it helped America is what it does.
No, do you know what the broken window fallacy is? I bet you don't.
Yes, I do.
What is it?
You got one window. You got a house with one window broke out. Somebody comes by and see that window broke, they break another one.
Nope. That's not it at all. The broken window fallacy is the idea that destroying a thing and then hiring a person to create to recreate the destroyed thing is somehow a boon to the economy, and that's BS.
Yeah, I fix windows for a living sometimes, but I've been accused of that before. But the thing about it is, Mark and Ian.
Mark's not here. This is Chris and Ian. But go ahead.
Well, we have our downfall directly linked to the Civil Rights Act of 1964. We have political correctness because of the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
I'm a little disappointed that you fell for the same trap, comparing women entering the workforce to immigrants entering the workforce.
How's it different?
Immigrants add more consumers. Women entering the workforce are already here. They are already consuming.
The secondary
and tertiary effects of that, women who are working are having fewer kids, and they're creating fewer consumers. So there's a lot of secondary effects that we don't even think about when we look at the first one.
That's a good point. I did overlook that.
An immigrant brings in 2, 3, 4 people, and they're going to be paying their own way.
But either way, did women enter the workforce because of the women's rights movement, or also perhaps because it was something that they needed to do in order to, or they felt they needed to do in order to get the bills paid because of the decline in the standard of living due to the government's manipulation of the money supply and other things?
That's not an easy question to answer with a yes or no.
It's probably all of the above, don't you think?
It started out, of course, as your previous caller was saying, where a woman would say, hey, I've got a little time on my hands. I could earn some extra money. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So they do. And the standard of living of the family goes up. And as the standard of the family, standard of living goes up and there's more money to tax, as you point out,
right,
then the taxes go up. When the taxes go up, it becomes more important to have that second income.
I'd love to hear your guys' opinion on why won't somebody prosecute Hillary Clinton? They'll go after Donald Trump all day long for a year, but Hillary Clinton, she commits all the crimes that she has committed, and nothing happens. I'd just like to hear you guys' input on it.
Well, I think the Clintons are very well connected.
That would have been my answer.
Yeah. I mean,
to say Trump isn't connected, but he's not as politically connected as she is.
Yeah, right? I think the Clintons you can look at as a political dynasty. Go ahead.
I don't understand. Does that mean that she's so well connected that a lawyer won't go against them because they're afraid they'll be killed? I don't understand.
There's a lot of rumors about the Clintons and people turning up dead from as far back as, the 1990s?
Oh, heck yeah.
Maybe the late 80s?
Go look at the number of people involved in the Rose Law Firm, involved in a lot of different people who worked in the Clinton White House. There's a surprisingly large number of suicides. I'm just saying. Oftentimes with a shot to the back of the head.
Because that's how people kill themselves,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
There was somebody who was looking into Hillary Clinton. He changed his findings just before he submitted them to the committee, I'm guessing. Originally, he had it written down that what she had done was a felony. But he changed it so that she would not be prosecuted.
Was this James Comey?
Could be. I can't keep track of those guys. I mean, it's a revolving door in Washington these days. Come on.
Of course. But James Comey did, at various points, he was just like up and down on whether to prosecute Hillary. He came out and he said what she did was technically illegal.
I think it was going by a coin flip.
Yeah, that's how it felt.
Yeah. But anyway, the Democrats, they say that they are the party of inclusion, unless you're Christian or Jew. And they they love all the women, and they're the party of the African-American. Quick question. Who was the president that abolished slavery in the 1860s?
Lincoln.
Yeah, because it wasn't Lincoln, right?
It was Lincoln. And what was his party affiliation?
Well, he was a Republican.
He was a Democrat.
But I think we're still...
Yes, he was.
Didn't Lincoln say he supported... He didn't really care about the slaves, and he just wanted to keep the Union together, ultimately, and he'd do whatever it took to keep the Union together?
That was the main thing. But once it happened, all heck broke loose.
I lived with it for 30, 40 years as a happy Republican. And not to say that I favor one over the other. It's just I at some point you have to, you get smacked in the head by reality, and you sit here and go, you know, they say one thing, but they don't really do it. And,
right. You can look at the Republicans. They ran during the Bush administration for, what, 6 years? They ran the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Right.
They ran the whole thing. And I remember when we were on the air through the whole, basically, most of Bush here on Free Talk Live. And I remember when one of them, I think it was Trent Lott. I'm not good with the names. I don't like remembering who these people are. Yep. But he said, or one of them like that, one of these hot dog, you know, Republicans said at one point, "We've slashed the government to the bone." And I just thought that was so funny because, I mean, does anybody actually believe that?
No.
Because your taxes haven't gone down. The spending hasn't gone down. The size of government hasn't. What's he talking about?
I say no, but the answer is yes. People do believe that. People are and I hear it every day, talking about what a great job Trump has been doing at, you know, draining the swamp and
didn't I see a headline
cutting and slashing government.
Yeah, didn't I see a headline recently that they got record tax revenues this year?
Yeah.
At the federal government?
I believe so, yeah.
So how does slashing the government result in record tax revenues? That doesn't seem to follow. I don't like the word capitalism because I think it has a lot of negative connotations around it. I don't think there's anything wrong with people operating in a free marketplace and offering jobs to people who voluntarily decide to take those jobs because they could do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever have to take a job unless, of course, you're in the government prisons and then they threaten you with something like, you know, segregation if you don't work for them. So in most cases, outside of a government prison, a job is a voluntary choice.
Right.
And so in a lot of cases, factory work can and was, certainly was dangerous. You know, people
sure.
getting arms caught in gears and things like that. I mean,
but so was working on a farm. And,
exactly.
and during that entire period, the bulk, more people worked on farms than they did in factories. And a lot more kids worked on farms, and kids are still allowed to work on farms.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's sort of a false narrative, and I'll take a little issue with you, Ian.
Yeah, please.
I don't despise the word capitalism. I think it's an accurate description of a voluntary system, like you say. Mm-hmm. The problem is that it's been so corrupted and through crony capitalism.
Yeah.
And when governments and companies start to get a little bit too close and do favors for one another, then we get the morass that we're in now, and it's wrong, and it doesn't do the word justice. For those of you who cling to the Constitution, cling to the ideas of our founding fathers, which really did, in at least in their words, espoused a real true idea of liberty and freedom, you're nowhere near, and we're not even pretending to be like that. People spout off and say, you know, freest country in the world, which we're not,
nope.
not by any measure, but it's just a disgrace.
The other comment was on the debt. The question at the beginning of the call was, well, how are you going to, you know, how is it going to get paid off, the debt, the U.S. government's debt? Look, they don't intend to pay that off. They couldn't
right.
pay it off. The whole thing is designed to continue to increase. They owe all this money to the Federal Reserve, which, of course, is the last buyer of last resort of all the federal bonds and mm-hmm. things like that. And the interest that's being paid is barely getting paid at all. It's not really. I mean, ultimately, they just keep on adding it in. The income tax receipts, a lot of that goes to pay off, from what I understand, the interest on those Federal Reserve loans to the federal government,
which goes to Wall Street.
So you loan
and the
out,
Chinese and you, the Japanese.
Right. Basically, they're loaning the federal government money that they then spend on things at an interest rate that, if you could try to pay it off, would result in them having to have more money than exists to pay off the loans that are outstanding. So it's
yeah.
just designed to not be paid off. And further, it's not my debt. I didn't consent to it. I did not ask for it. I don't owe it, and you don't owe it.
I'd like to add an important point. Antitrust legislation, it's on the book, but it's not being used with reference to talk radio. Now,
what would you like to see happen?
well, present company excluded. Here's the situation. America's most listened to talk show host has about 20 million viewers, listeners a week.
Mm-hmm.
20 million regular listeners.
You talking about Rush Limbaugh?
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Now, you add to him the big five, so to speak. They all meet together in Florida every year. They coordinate. They go on each other's shows.
Okay.
They screen out callers who have a different point of view. Which
who
you
is
don't
it that's
do.
Meeting in Florida?
Pardon me?
You said there's five hosts. They meet in Florida. You're saying talk show hosts, they have like a secret cabal?
Yeah, they meet there every December. All these right-wing foreign power connected talk show hosts.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. This is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
When radio started, it was geeks, you know, guys, nerds that just built their own equipment and they set up towers and that's how
didn't
this
ask permission.
No, they weren't asking anybody permission and they just did it and they worked out problems between themselves because sometimes frequencies would step on others and they just work it out.
Because guess what? You don't really want to step on somebody else's frequency because nobody's going to be able to hear either station. Basically.
Exactly. It's in nobody's interest to do that. But, you know, and then you started to get this sort of conglomeration of stations that would get together. And then you have RCA coming out of that and you have NBC coming out of that. And once those guys got organized, then they went, where do you go?
We need rules.
We go to Washington, yeah. And we start saying, we talk about how important this industry is and how much damage could be done if it continues on unregulated. And we're going to let you, we're volunteering. We're such good people. We're asking for this regulation. We'll just help you write it.
And because there's not regulations enough, according to some of these people, there's now a what they call the Pirate Act that has been filed in Congress this year.
Oh, really?
That is going to, so I read about it in an industry publication because, you know, we're in talk radio and so I read these things. The Pirate Act. And I forget what it stands for because I don't have it in front of me. We weren't planning to talk about this. But, you know, it's one of those acronyms. It's ridiculous.
Protecting Intellectual Rights Against Theft and Expropriation Act.
There was this thing called Air America that was tried, a decade ago or something like that, somewhere in the mid-aughts.
Yeah, was a little longer.
That happened. Yeah, maybe
I remember,
11,
yeah, but I remember
13 years, something like that. But the idea was, let's get liberals on the air. They should have liberal radio stations. They should, you know, be able to make this work, right? Because there's liberals in America. They should listen to this. They should support it with their, you know, ad dollars or whatever. And it didn't work out.
And they got a lot of top-name talent, if you want to call it that.
Yep.
People that weren't necessarily radio people, but they were well known. Was Al Gore on that? I don't think he was.
No. One of the Kennedys had a show, and then like Al Sharpton and some others. But regardless, it's not to say they had bad personalities. They probably mm-hmm. had some talented talk show hosts. Maybe there was some, you know, not so talented ones. But either way, the issue seems like the market just wasn't supporting it.
Yeah.
Now, people will say, oh, well, it's because they had the worst radio stations in the market. Air America was a startup. They were maybe buying the airtime, or I'm not sure exactly what was going on behind the scenes and how they were getting placement on stations. But one of the excuses was, oh, you know, they had what they call a rimshot station in the business, which means a station that's not really in the market, sort of on the outer edge of the market, so some of the market can hear the station, but not the whole market. And I'll agree with them. That's a concern. It's definitely an issue.
I always listen to KGOAM 810 out of San Francisco, even though
Aren't you in Oregon?
Yeah.
was that big of a
Wow. station, that big of a signal. But at night, it was always KGO, and that was always progressive.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I would characterize it as progressive liberal. I mean, it's San Francisco.
Today.
Yeah, yeah. But if the marketplace truly were there, and it's not just radio, the progressive liberal shows and stations and news programs. I mean, Fox News pretty much decimates everybody all the time. And all that means is that more money seems to be flowing to advertisers than it is through a CNN or an MSNBC. I mean, that's when this is a business like any other business. And if where the money flows, that's what people are going to get.
Well, let me say this, as a liberty-minded talk show host who wanted to bring a show to the air because I was tired of hearing the same old crap on talk radio, and I had a lot of the similar critiques as our caller earlier in that these talk show hosts will screen out anybody with an opposing viewpoint. They just want to hear from the choir.
Right.
That was frustrating to me as a listener. I wanted to hear the conflict. I wanted to hear the different ideas. I wanted to hear that, and I wasn't hearing it on most shows. And so it's one of the reasons why I formed Free Talk Live, was so we could have open phones every night, which they say is a bad idea in talk radio, but I'd, you know, break those rules regularly.
I was just going to talk about a little bit about the shootings that are happening so often. Mm-hmm. More recently, the one in Texas. I just feel like people are making this a bipartisan issue when really we should all get together and, you know, see what we can do and see why this is happening so frequently, you know?
I'm good with doing that.
Yeah, what do you think?
Say that again?
Yeah, what are your opinions, Sam? Why is it happening and, you know, what can be done?
Right.
Well, my opinion is, like, anytime anybody comes to the table to resolve the issue or the problem, they just make it like you're just a liberal or you're just a conservative issue. If we actually come to the table and try to, you know, actually solve the problem about what's actually happening, I think we can come to a better solution, you know?
I could not agree with you more. And I'm pretty much a hardcore gun rights guy. I mean, if it's out there, I will be attending it. But a couple of the things that have always bothered me, and this goes back to Columbine, is the number of shooters that appear to be on some sort of mind-altering drug, the SSRIs, the serotonin leveling drugs. So things like, you know, it's Prozac, it's, I can't remember some of the other names, but...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though.
You see these statistics where it's like 60, 70, 80% sometimes of these individuals have been on these types of drugs.
What I don't see, though, is a Wall Street Journal of talk radio.
They actually had a radio division for a time, and I don't think they still do. I think they shut it down within the last few years, where they would do, like, call-ins. Mm-hmm. I know the local station here in Keene, New Hampshire, had some lady calling in, and she would, you know, give the Wall Street Journal business report or something like that. It was something that they had different packages, different things that stations could kind of subscribe to and get. But they never really had like around the clock Wall Street Journal-esque coverage. It was just a segment in a show. And actually when the Journal went under, or no, the Journal didn't go under, but the radio division got shut down, that same lady is still doing her same show just with a different network. So that product still exists, mm-hmm. but it's not a full show. It's not a full station. It's not 24/7. It's just a thing that you can put on another show. It's like a feature, basically. But I wanted to say, you know, with regards to news radio stations, and when I say that, I don't mean all of the stations that call themselves news radio. What I mean is the stations that just do news all around the clock, all day long. It's not an opinion show. Right. They don't have a talk show host. They just have newsmen and newswomen doing reporting on the news all day, every day. Those stations only exist in the biggest marketplaces. They exist in New York City. They exist in Philadelphia. You know, and I don't know where they all are, but there's only a few of them out there. David, you said you're a homeschooling dad, and you've got several children. You started a couple of your kids out of the government school system, one at age 6. So what did he have, like a year or two in government school before you decided to get him out?
Just to make the in-laws feel happy, we went to about a half-day school for the very first year in kindergarten, and that was too much for me in itself.
Gotcha.
And so you decided that you wanted to have control over curriculum. You wanted to have the ability to educate your own children rather than turning it over to the government.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was a no-brainer. I mean, you know, a lot of these people, they call in and they talk about all these issues. And you guys mentioned it earlier. It's like, guys, the solution is right there. Now, I will say this. Our family makes a big sacrifice to homeschool monetarily, our time. There is effort on our end that we have to put in.
Right,
and,
for sure.
And no doubt, it is a sacrifice. And a lot of these people are like, well, I just can't do it. Oh, I guarantee you can. You might have to live in a lot smaller house. You might not have to be able to do a lot of these things you want to do. You might have to pull someone from the workforce to stay at home with the kids. But it can be done if you want something bad enough.
Is sacrifice really the right word, though? Because sacrifice suggests that you're destroying value in return for nothing, basically.
And I agree.
I think a better word is an investment. It's an investment in the future of your own kids.
Another very interesting fact that your listeners will love is the brain works, the program we're with works with the brain of the child as they move forward. So the first early ages in a child's brain is nothing but memory. They're not taking anything and doing anything with it. They're not really understanding things. So a lot of times these public schools are just wasting their time trying to get kids to understand and to take it to kind of this dialectic phase. The first phase is just memorization. So we spend the first 4 years of just memorizing facts. Just all kinds of different factions just downloading. And as their brain develops naturally into this next phase of asking why, we have all those facts downloaded. And now we can take those things. And when we say, hey, why did this happen in 1850? Why did this happen in 1400? We know all these facts that surround that. And man, it's just a beautiful thing when it all comes together.
And you know, if somebody out there is listening to this and they're saying to themselves, well, that's a bunch of poppycock. This wouldn't work because that, whatever. It's fine. They can have whatever opinion they want. The nice thing about homeschooling is you aren't forced to pay for what the homeschoolers in your area are doing.
The people who say that they love the police should be more interested in making sure that their duties are not so overwhelming that we're always asking them to do the impossible. Expecting the police to correct all societal ills, including harm that people may do to themselves, it's stupid. It causes them to wind up getting into violent confrontation with the very citizenry that they are supposed to be, quote unquote, protecting, when in fact all they're doing is they're enforcing laws. And it doesn't seem as our legislatures around the country or in Washington, D.C. are interested in repealing any of these. They seem to be only interested in adding.
Yep.
And so if you love the police, you should stop advocating for the enforcement of victimless crimes or crimes where the victim is the person themselves. Like, it may be illegal to beat yourself in the head with a hammer. How are the police supposed to stop that? Ban all hammers.
Yeah, I look at if people are concerned for police lives, and I believe all lives are sacred. If you are concerned with the lives of police, don't ask them to go raid drug houses.
I haven't seen Trump get up there on any kind of national podium and say, I am announcing an end to the war on drugs. I will order my executive branch to
tell you what. Mm-hmm. No. He's got his hands full with them hamstringing him with all this conspiracy crap.
I don't believe that. I don't buy that. Trump has a huge, and thanks for the call, Joe. I appreciate it. Trump has a huge platform.
Sure.
Anytime he can call a press conference. And if he's too busy, he can have one of his people call a press conference. And he can have one of his people write a speech for that press conference. So, like, to say that he can't do it because he's just so busy being tied up with all the other stuff, the investigations or whatever. If Trump wanted to end the war on drugs, he could do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
He could. He's the head of the executive branch. The DEA is the executive branch.
Right.
Trump could go. He doesn't have to have Congress remove the drug schedules. Trump could just go tomorrow and say, head of the DEA, you're no longer enforcing the war on drugs. You guys can just push papers around or whatever it is you do.
Right.
I can't abolish you, but I'm telling you to stop enforcing the war on drugs. This has been an insane war on our people.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.